Mary, and if she'll bring us a Bible reading.
Acts chapter 9, verses 1-9. Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "How are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men travelling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. This is the word of the Lord.
I thought that this was quite a familiar piece of scripture that we probably all know all about Paul and his conversion, but it was something that I haven't heard anybody speak about in recent time, for a long time. And I thought that we would just look at not specifically Paul's conversion, but Paul, and see what we know about him. But if we look in Acts 22, Paul is being arrested here, and he's speaking to the crowd. He asks the man in charge of the soldiers to the crowd who were there, and he tells them that in verse 3, "I am a Jew, and I was born in Tarsus, but I was brought up in Jerusalem, taught by Gamaliel, the strictest of the strictness of the law." He was taught the Jewish law, and he would be taught what the prophets said, I presume, some of the prophecies, but he was taught by Gamaliel, and yet, so he would know the scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures, and he says, "I was zealous toward God," and yet he persecuted the followers of Jesus. And we find that Jesus was persecuted and put to death, and we find that this seems to be the situation by various Jewish people and Jewish leaders. For various reasons, I think, we've come upon across this in Mark, haven't we, of recent time, of the way that they persecuted the disciples for preaching the gospel. And if we go back to chapter 5, it tells us about this man Gamaliel, who was respected by the... He was a Pharisee, he was a teacher of the law, and he was respected by all the people. And we, in chapter 5, we find that the apostles have been arrested and they're brought in front of the council, and Peter's telling them what he believed, and telling them that he has to obey God rather than men. And so we find in verse 34, we find in 34 that it's telling us about Gamaliel, and it says there, "But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was born, was honoured by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered the men to be put aside for a little while, and then he addressed them, 'Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Take heed and be careful of what you plan to do.'" So Gamaliel was not one who was wanting to put them to death, like a lot of them did. And I think there's various reasons why the Jews, or many of the Jews, wanted to get rid of Jesus and to get rid of the followers of Jesus. And some of them, and I believe Paul was one of them, who genuinely believed the scriptures, and I think he believed that it was wrong and he should get rid of them. I can see that some of them, when the disciples were speaking, because some of the Jewish leaders had got Jesus crucified, and so Peter doesn't mince his words about who was responsible for that, and therefore now in chapter 5 they're saying that Peter's trying to pin the blame for Jesus' death on them, his blood, which was true, and so you can understand in a way they wanted to they're feeling a bit guilty probably and wanting to get rid of these accusations. But I think some of the people blindly, in a way, thought that they were wrong, that the followers of Jesus were wrong. But Gamaliel goes on to say, "Be careful what you do with these people," and he gives two examples of people who have come along before and gathered a group of people and claimed to be something, and they've ended up dead and the job has fizzled out. And he said, "If this plan or this work is of men, it'll come to nothing. If it is of God, you can't overthrow it." He wasn't really sure, was he, about which way it was, but he didn't think that. I think it's important for us to realise here that if things that we do are our plans, men's plans, they won't really come to anything at the end. I had a thought there when I was looking at this, you know, and I've seen this in different churches, where people see something happening somewhere and they go along and see how they're doing it, and then they come back and they say, "We'll do this because it's worked there and they're having, and it's going right well for them what they're doing." But that isn't necessarily God's plan. God might have something different for a different church to do. What is working well at one place, it might well be God's plan, but it might not be God's plan for somewhere else. So we need to be listening to God, reading God's word, we need to be praying and listening for God's guidance, for His Spirit to guide us in the things that we should do. Because if we do what God wants us to do, it can't fail. And if we look here, if we think here, they were trying to destroy the church, really. It wasn't, well, it wasn't Christians by name then, but they were trying to get rid of, and Gamaliel said, if it's of God, you cannot overthrow it. And they haven't overthrown it, because it's spread and grown. So we find that Gamaliel wasn't opposed to the followers of Jesus. He maybe wasn't, we don't really know, he maybe wasn't a follower of Jesus, because there was some Jewish leaders who secretly followed Jesus, but it doesn't tell us that clearly he wasn't opposed. And yet Paul, who was taught by him and taught the scriptures, the law by Gamaliel, was really opposed to the Christians and really went out of his way. In fact, it was his aim in life, I think, by what we see, to destroy the church. He was religious. He believed in God. He clearly thought that what he was doing was right. And he consented to Stephen's death, and it tells us, and I'm not sure where it was now, I've got it written down somewhere, never mind, that he made havoc of the church. It tells us that after Stephen's death, he went on to persecute the Christians, take them prisoner, even to putting them to death. Because he was so opposed to him. And then we see on his way to Damascus, he's got these letters from the high priest to tell people who followed Jesus, both men and women, back to Jerusalem. And obviously to do with them, to either punish them or kill them or whatever. He said later on in chapter 23 that he put them, that he pursued them to death, to the death. And then we find him on his way to Damascus, and he's in Acts chapter 9 and verse 4 to 6, we see him confronted by Jesus. We know the story, we've read it already, that Marian read it to us. But something that struck me there was that he spent 3 days at this house that they took him to in Damascus, and he couldn't see, and he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. I wonder why it was that God waited 3 days before he sent Ananias to see him. I'm sure that Saul would be considering what Jesus had said to him. He would be considering the things that he'd done and what had happened. Probably the Holy Spirit was speaking to him, and it tells us that he was praying. And so then Ananias comes along and says to him, "Brother Saul, Jesus who spoke to you in the way has sent me that you can receive your sight." And it tells us that when he received his sight, he was baptized. He obviously had accepted what Jesus had said to him, and he received food and was strengthened, and spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And then in verse 20 it tells us that immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And he preached that Jesus is the Christ. What a change that made to Paul. What a difference meeting with Jesus. He went on. After that the Jews are plotting to kill Paul. Oh, Saul as he still was then. They're determined to get rid of the followers of Jesus. God protects him, and he does 3 missionary journeys in Asia and the countries round about there, telling people about Jesus, telling Gentiles to a great extent, as well as Jews. He went to synagogue regularly, preaching Christ, which was why the Jews were after him and wanting to get rid of him. But he did 3 missionary journeys, and then, as we read, in chapter 22, where we read Paul talking to the people, he'd been arrested, and from then on, he did another journey, a long journey to Rome, where he spent the rest of his time in prison there. But in that time, he wrote quite a lot of the New Testament that we have. So, what an amazing change Jesus made to Paul. I think Scripture tells us that anyone who accepts Jesus will be different, will be a new person. The Scripture tells us when we become a Christian, it's a about turn. It's no longer about us, about me, but it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. I often think that a lot of professing Christians today really haven't had that experience. They still, and that in some ways is some church's fault, because they don't teach them that. There isn't a change in the person that they are. I mean, it isn't so obvious with some people, because people live good. A lot of people live good lives. A lot of people, it isn't that noticeable. I mean, Paul's change was really obvious, because he went from persecuting people to working with them and taking their message to people. But there is a definite change in the life of somebody who has given their life to Jesus, because he becomes all important before anything else. And I know we're none of us perfect, and we make mistakes, and we sometimes fail. But where we were thinking about ourselves and the things that we wanted, it becomes what Jesus wants us to do. Sometimes things that we don't want to do, but if he wants us to do them, then we should. If we truly follow Jesus, I wrote down here, if we truly follow Jesus, we'll be hated by the world. And Jesus said this. We live in a pretty, how shall I describe it, sheltered area in a way. We know that Christians in some areas are persecuted for their faith in some countries. I think that if we really hold to the truth, we might not be persecuted like the apostles were, but people will not like what we say if we hold to the truth of the Bible. And we find that. We find that even in this country, don't we? We find people refuse jobs if they stand up for their faith. There are universities that won't give people places if they stand up for their faith. There are people being prosecuted in this country for preaching the word of God faithfully and upholding the truth. So it's not easy to be a real Christian, and I believe that it probably will get worse in this country the way that it's going. The government make laws to prevent us speaking the truth, really, it seems. Courts who prosecute people clearly don't think that we should speak the truth. People other than Christians can say what they like about Christians, but when Christians say anything that Scripture, anything about things that Scripture condemns, then they're immediately jumped on, and many people in this country have been prosecuted for saying the truth. And so, really, I think that we need, and it's not a criticism of anybody, I think that we, anybody here, I think that we all need to remember that we need to faithfully stick to the word of God and to the gospel, and tell others as Jesus leads us, as the Holy Spirit leads us. Do the things that he wants us to do in order to spread his word to the people we come in contact with and the people round about. We might have to do things that we don't really like doing. We might have to step out of our comfort zone, as people say. But I trust that each one of us really believes and stands up for what we believe. I'm going to close there.